Hello, fellow saints, and welcome. We're so grateful that you're here today. Thank you for your support and standing with us in advancing the kingdom of God. If you'd like to give today, we invite you to do so, but please know there is absolutely no pressure. Your presence and prayers mean so much to us. For those who choose to give, your generosity makes a real difference, and every gift, no matter the amount, is deeply appreciated. Please know that 100% of all proceeds go directly toward our nonprofit activities and outreach. For more information about our outreach programs and community, you can visit our Instagram page. Giving is simple. You click the Make a Gift link in the navigation menu or scroll down to the bottom of this page and follow the link provided. Thank you once again for your kindness and faithfulness in sowing into the kingdom. Together we are making an impact. Thank you for tuning in.
Greater love for Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the fellowship, Lord God. Loving on you and giving glory unto your name. Father, as always, I ask that as I decrease, you would increase in me to teach your people your word, Lord God, as you have put this together. Father, as we start our journey on spiritual growth, I pray that the words that will come out of my mouth would touch people's hearts, resonate to the place where they have not been taught, and let them see the truth of your word. Your truth is absolute as we teach. Bless us, Lord God. We love you and we thank you. Give you glory, honor, and praise. And all those that agree said amen.
Amen.
So we're coming out of Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. We're going to go into verse 1 and verse 2 right now. But we're going to go all the way down by the time we finish this to verse 8. Because this is our base scripture. But I got to set some things up. When you become saved and you become a Christian, you're not supposed to grow in gadgets and grow in things and grow in this and grow in that, but you are supposed to grow in godliness, grow in spirituality, and grow in grace. When you grow in godliness, you're growing in grace. When you grow in spirituality, you're growing in grace. When you're growing in grace, you're growing in the other two. The Bible says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. That is the threefold cord. That ties directly to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A lot of people want to grow in grace when they start growing spiritual by trying to know the Holy Spirit. You don't need to know Him. It's good to know Him, but that is not a requirement for growth. So, when you're growing, we're talking about being born again. Okay? The same thing when Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, you must be born again. And his question was, can a man enter into his mother's womb a second time? And Jesus said, no. Basically, you must be born of spirit. Everybody misses it. Because as soon as we hear the word spirit, then everybody runs to the Holy Spirit. See? But there is a spiritual you that is supposed to grow. That is your inner man. Your inner person. See? Now, to explain that, you have to understand the two. And this is why we start here. When a baby is born, a regular baby, there's nothing that you need to add to that baby to make that baby become what it needs to be. At a certain age, they're going to go through puberty. It's already in them. See? At a certain age, they're going to lose teeth and grow new ones. It's already in them. You don't have to fix or change anything. The same thing happens with the new birth. Everything you need is already in you when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ. But a lot of people don't understand this, so let's break it down. When you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God immediately came in through the blood of Jesus and crucified the old flesh, the old self. Not so much the flesh or the self on the outside itself, but crucified the old nature. See? And He gave you a new nature that is created after the image of Him that calls you to glory and to virtue. As soon as you accept Christ as your personal Savior, God's Word comes in and does this. So, you are the old you, but now you are a new you. I know that's real because the Bible says, all old things that pass away, behold, all things become new. Even though you're still the same you, but there's a new element to you that's different. That is the new creation. That is the inner man that is created after godliness. The Zoe, God set this up way from the beginning. The Zoe, which is the breath of life that God breathed into Adam, cannot be corrupted. You can't corrupt it. When you die, that Zoe, the life-giving breath, goes back to God immediately. God is not going to take on to Himself corruption. It was in you, when you die, that the Bible says, well, not the Bible, but just common after working in a hospital, when you're alive, you're inspired. When you die, you're expired. See? Mm-hmm. Expired means you have been deprived or lost that you lost the inspiration of life. What does it mean to be inspired by life? God breathed into Adam his spirit. So when Jesus looks at you, when the word resonates with you, it clicks to the part of you that is made alive in Christ. It is not dealing with your flesh. It is not dealing with the old you. It is not dealing with the old nature. Now, I said all that to get to this point. Now that you have a new nature, and the old nature has been crucified, hung up on the cross with Jesus, now you operate from a new set of rules. But it's your choice. You continue to operate from the old set of rules, which is normal to you, or you can grow spiritually. Why is that important? Because the baby, when the baby is born, you know there's a baby in there. You may know, what does it take for you to know the sex of the baby, whether it's male or female? You have to wait for a certain time till it grows. Growth gives you the details about anything that's born. How do you know what they're going to be when they grow up? You got to wait till they grow. How do you know when the legs come? You got to wait for growth. Everything that is attached to the baby growing, everything that's attached to a tree to see the fruit and what kind of fruit is going to be on there, growth. Growth gives the details. Well, it's the same thing about our new nature. Spiritual growth shows you the details of who that individual is in Christ Jesus. And when we don't allow or foster growth, then people stay stagnant. This is how somebody can start creating laws and creating things and start following that and making justifications for who they are. This is why people can get caught up in the Holy Spirit and start lying about how they live. This is how that happens. They don't mean any harm. It's not against them, but because they don't allow the inner man to grow. The inner man grows only one way, by feeding itself on the Word of God. See, that is the nutrients. Now the Holy Spirit is there to lead you to the parts that you need to be fed in, but you still have to go in and get fed. So I'm trying to give you a whole picture so I don't have to spend a lot of time doing the background. See, now once we're born again, we have the Christ, and now we are being transformed by the Word of God into the image of the Christ. See? All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's where we are. See? Now, where do we grow to? You can't grow spiritually because you don't know anything about spirit. But you can grow in grace. Grace is God's inexhaustible supply of goodness. It is spiritual. Grace is one of the strangest words in the Bible that defines a faith that people don't even understand. And grace is so infinite, it's so wide, it's so big, it's so glorious, it's so holy, it's so righteous that you can spend your whole life trying to discover grace, and it takes you to eternity to finally get to the place. Why? Because grace can only be defined by growth. You have to grow to get it. I hope this is making this clear and setting it in place. Because this is very important. So, a lot of times we do things. Have you ever did things and did things and did things and you didn't understand why you were doing them and why you keep doing them? And you had to come to a conclusion that God's grace was sufficient. It's just enough. You know, we had to come to that conclusion. Have you ever I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do this no more. As a matter of fact, Paul did that. Mm-hmm. See, in Romans chapter 7. Mm-hmm. I think that one I'm going to visit because I'm led there. So I'm going to go to Romans chapter 7. So that you can see. I need you to see. Because Paul is operating, he had been operating just because of the sin that is in him from the contaminated core. His fight is not on the outside of him. His fight is on the inside of him. See, there's a contaminated core that has been running your flesh for years. And when it's been running your flesh for years, then you don't know how to tell it no. You don't know how to shut it down because it's just normal to you. And so you have to sow to the new nature. You understand what I'm saying? And Paul defines it greatly. I'm going to start at14. It says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." He says in 15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do." He goes on to say, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me." So we all have sin that dwells in us, that is in our flesh and in our contaminated spirit. A contaminated core, not spirit, core. The core of us is contaminated. Why is this important? Because God is not trying to fix the old you. God is not trying to give you a heart transplant. He's trying to replace the heart. He does not want you operating from a contaminated core. Because that means even the good that you would do, it's going to be contaminated. Because you're operating from a poisoned core. You see what I'm saying? This is why we must be born again. To be born into a place where we are operating from a new core. See? And then God, you see that. But I'm going to keep going. It says, 17, "Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do." He goes on to say in 20, "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." He says it twice. And then he goes on to discovery and he says in 21, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." So whenever I'm trying to do good, evil is standing right there with me. Don't get it twisted. When you come to church, the devil is coming up in there somehow right along with you. When you sing praise, the devil's sitting over there in the corner waiting for you to make a mistake so he can pounce and change your prayer. When you're praying, he's sitting right there to deceive you, to distract you so that you will stop praying. When you're reading, he wants you to start thinking about other things. He wants earthquakes to come and things to shake, winds to blow, so that you will not have that concentration to focus on God. So whenever good is available to them, the devil is already, Satan is always present. Evil is always right there, ready to distract you. This is why you have to concentrate somewhere else. Keep going. 22. "For I delight in the law of God, made after the inward man." So look at what he says. "For I delight in the law of God, after the inward man." So he's talking about the inner him. He's not talking about the outer him no more. He's setting the parts up. "It is no longer I that do it, but that is sin that dwells in me, that is in his flesh." So he says, but I see in 23, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So he's breaking it down. No matter how you try to gear up the flesh, no matter how you try to prop up the flesh, no matter how you try to beautify the flesh, if you're dealing with flesh, you're always going to operate from a contaminated core. But if you deal from your inner man, that's where God is pleased. Because that's where God dwells. The Holy Spirit dwells in your inner man. The Holy Spirit is not dwelling in your flesh. The Bible, the Holy, when he was present, the Holy Spirit won't even dwell in the vessel. He will not dwell in the unclean vessel. See? So he's not dealing in your flesh. But there's a part of you that is contaminant free from this world. That is your inner man. That is your spirit man. How do I know that? We are three. It says in Thessalonians, we are body, soul, and spirit. And those three are one. That is the image that we are created in after God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, Word, and Holy Spirit. And those three are one. So when he said, let us make man in our image, he's talking about the three of them being one. See? And that's the image he created all man and women kind of like. Because we all have the same makeup. We all have the same design. Even though I don't look like you, you don't look like me. We all have the same design. So the inner man is what God is after. Because God knows if he can get you to yield your inner man to him and get into this word, then your inner man will overcome the flesh. That's why Jesus says to the churches in Revelation, to he that overcometh, I shall give. To he that overcometh, church of Pergamos, to he that overcometh, I will give. To the church of Ephesus, to he that overcometh. This is why Jesus says to he that overcometh, because you have to overcome the world through your inner man. Now, Pastor, you said a whole lot of stuff, and you're talking a whole lot of stuff, but I don't even understand how. How? It is a matter of disposition. Matter of disposition. The one thing that you have in your flesh is attitude. The one thing God wants you to absolve yourself of is attitude. If you have the right disposition, then you see God clearly. When you have the right disposition, you can look towards the hills from whence come your help and know that your help comes from the Lord. If you are going to be sacrificed at the cross, you got to have the right disposition, or else you're going to take the mark. Everything he's been trying to teach is the new disposition. You have within you, that is in your earthen vessel, a new core. That new core is not contaminated with the things that leads to lust, which is the attitude. It is your disposition. You see clearly because you have a right disposition. You smell clearly because you have a right disposition. You hear clearly because you have a right disposition. Disposition means attitude. You got to change your attitude. This is why I tell you all the time, you got to flush the flesh. Mm-hmm. You have to flush it. If you do not flush the flesh, then you're going to keep the wrong attitude. Mm-hmm. And you cannot see it the way God sees it, because he will not deal with a contaminated core. If we could just get that, that is all we need. This is why people run to trying to find a set of laws to follow, like the laws of Moses, because they won't grow in the word. They won't grow spiritually. They don't even know, and neither is it hardly taught, that you have to grow in grace. Growing in grace is growing spiritually. Hey, baby. Growing in grace is growing spiritually. See, now, Pastor, you just said a whole lot. Well, let's just go to Peter and get that out of the way so I can show you that the scripture says grow in grace. So that you don't have any problem that what I'm telling you is 2 Peter chapter 5, verse 18. The very last verse says, but grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. So the scripture tells you directly. It didn't tell you to grow in the Holy Spirit. It didn't tell you to grow in your stature. It didn't tell you to grow in money. It does tell you to grow in wisdom. It does tell you to grow in knowledge. It does tell you to grow in your understanding of God. But most importantly, it tells you to grow in grace. Because that is spiritual growth. That is spiritual growth. Now, let's get to Ephesians. So I can show. Oh, I didn't even read the last of, because I was cut off because of the chapters. But just, you ain't got to turn there. In Romans 8:1, it says, this is what Paul came up to. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, myself, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit. A lot of people say that. He's talking about if you're walking after your new created spirit that God gave you, your inner man. Now, does the Holy Spirit connect to that? Yes, he does. Don't get it twisted. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you to all spiritual truth. But if you walk after that, you'll be all right. See? Because he's only going to lead you to God. See? So then, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. God, 20, I only got 9 minutes. I think this is going to have to be a part one, part two, even though it's like a part 10. I got 10 different things spiritually that I need to tell y'all. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in sin. Quickened means made alive or joined together. So Jesus saying, and you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So the prince of the power of the air is now the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. Don't get it twisted. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. The devil runs the airwaves. The devil runs the TV waves. He runs the internet waves. He runs all this stuff. So you thinking you're going to get caught up in that and find godliness? And sooner or later, they may be telling the truth about some things now, but sooner or later, the whole thing is going to be twisted because it is ran from a contaminated core. Don't get it twisted. See, anything, things that we don't see is going on in the air. He's the prince of the power of that. He's been given that. Here in this earth. And then he goes on to say, among whom we all had our conversation and time passed in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Isn't it amazing that God gives us a backdrop before he goes into grace? And as I was studying this, I got the picture. Have you ever seen a diamond? And when they come to show you a diamond, they show it on a black cloth. They don't show it on a white cloth. Why? Because the brilliance doesn't show on a white background. But it shows on a black background. See, when you hold this thing called grace in reference to your past, then the grace diamond shines brightly in your life. You can look at where the God, the Lord, has brought you from. You can look at, from holding the backdrop, where you were going. See? And what that does is make you so grateful. But remember that. Put that in the sidebar because I got to show you this. But then 4 says, but God. Everybody say, but God.
But God.
Who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. By grace you are saved. By grace you are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, look at what happened. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Grace is fueled by love. See? Grace is fueled fueled by love. And then when you see that like that, then you see God's grace shed abroad, and you look everywhere you look, you see it by love. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You understand what I'm saying? Don't hate your enemies. Love your enemies. Blessed are they that's blessed are ye when they despitefully use you, curse you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets that were before you. So my point is this. This is the thing. You have to understand where grace is seen, where the disposition changes. It is fueled by love.
It's okay.
It is fueled by love. See? It is fueled by love. And so if you do not get the love aspect of this, why should you love God? Look at how he delivered you. Look at your backdrop. Why should you love God? Look at where he brought you from. Look at your backdrop. Look at what you have now. Look at your backdrop. Look where you were. And see how God has blessed you. See? When you understand that, then you're starting to operate from a place of gratitude. And when you operate from a place of gratitude, then guess what happens? You learn to love God from a more grateful place. And that makes you love your neighbor as you love yourself. That makes you love God. That makes you just love God even more. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm telling you this because if you do not get the understanding of why grace is here, grace is God's excuse by law, spiritual law, to bless you, to be merciful to you. See, grace is the spiritual law that God created to bless all of mankind. Do you hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It is the spiritual law by which he uses to show you his glory. It is the spiritual law by which he blesses you with things here on earth. Go to that. Okay, well, you got to stay still. Okay, Zai, I got it. It is his spiritual law. He put in law, he put in place that you are. He put in place that you would be able to be blessed abundantly through him. We don't understand grace. It is one of the strangest words, but there, grace has an inexhaustible supply. And God doesn't give you, you don't want dying grace. He gives you dying grace when it's time to die. But you don't want that because that has a time limit. See? But grace that he gives, that he has shed abroad towards us, that all may be able to see his glory through you, he gives you all the grace you need at the time that you need it. You don't have a stored up supply of grace. At the time that you need it, you got to depend on him for the grace. That's what makes your prayer stronger. This is why you can pray over a car and be okay. This is why you can pray over people and you see things going, because you're looking for God's inexhaustible grace, because you have gratitude. And when he sees that gratitude, he's open to shed his tender mercies upon you, and his tender mercies are new every morning. Every morning. See? This is why a lot of people don't get what they need to get. Hi. This is why people don't get what they need to get from God, because they're too busy looking inward and looking what they can get out of it, instead of looking out on the needs of others. Grace will give you everything you need to take care of somebody else, to be good to somebody else, because that's what grace does. It transfers God's goodness. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the fellowship. We love on you, Lord God. We ask forgiveness for our sins. We ask to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. And Lord, give us the mindset to step into your inexhaustible grace. We love you, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God. Grace is something we can't earn. It's something we can't buy. It's something we can't even see, Lord God. It's something that we must believe by faith. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. By faith, we believe you, God. Amen. Sure. I'd like to invite you to pray prayer. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending your son. I accept Jesus now as my personal Lord and Savior. I ask Jesus the Christ to come in my heart and live. I choose light. I choose life in Christ. I choose truth. I choose the narrow way. I believe Jesus died for my sin. And according to the scriptures, that you raised him from the dead for my benefit. Heavenly Father, thank you for accepting me as your child. In Jesus' name, amen.
The evil ones dwell, cause they fail. What some like to refer to as hell, never unveil the downscale of the segregated, isolated, degenerated, and investigated committee. Destroy the whole city one by one, make it kill off each other with a knife or a gun. You having fun, but in the end you'll be judged by the Lord, cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Now reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together and the Lord I seek it, trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking up some truth into your souls I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs, look, he ain't a stranger, and get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all the children. People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all the children.
Don't feel it, see? Come on, attempt to step into the light, because deep in your heart, you know what's wrong, you know what's right. Don't delay. Stop playing with your worldly ways, cause once you sell out to the devil, ain't no need to pray. Cause when you die, that's where you lie, and ain't no resurrection. Burning in the lake of fire, left without no protection. Rejection is what the enemy really despises. He tells you what you wanna hear, but you know he good for lies. Rebuke and keep on stepping, that's your weapon and it work. It don't matter what they say, it don't matter what he learned. Watch out for your enemy, watch out for your friend, cause trust don't get slim as we get closer to the end. So get yourself together, help your fellow brothers out. Stick together through rough weather, that's what it's all about. Your life is tearing you down and bringing sorrow, so pray tonight before you sleep, cause he might come tomorrow.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all the children. People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all the children.
Now when he came right now, they tell me what you would do. Cause when it's time to get judged, see that's between him and you. Hit your knees and praise the one and only true Savior. That's all you're seeing behind closed doors. And yet he forget you. And if you don't, commit your life living in sin. Then in hell is where you dwell for eternity and then. You're burning fire and the pain will never cease. Plus, ain't no getting out though. You begging again and please. There is hope. Seven seals and the trumpets blow. For peace in heaven and hell on earth, that's how the story's told. Now find your Bible, open it up and get some education. It's all there, loud and clear in the book of Revelation. The bottomless pit to the angel of death. You better think about it before you come up on your last breath. Repent for all your sins, learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare, we live in the last days.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming.